Bring in Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. Before we get to the action on the horizon tonight, and we could see four teams go home, quick thought, no surprises, Hart Trophy finalist Matthews, McDavid, Shesterkin.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say I thought Matthews and McDavid were the two at the top of mind as well. Shesterkin was on my ballot. He was not third for me. I had someone else there. Somebody please tell Hockey Night in Canada producer Brian Spear what time I go on radio every day.
Is he calling you?
Yeah,
is he
right
calling
now.
You right now?
Right
Spearsy.
Now.
Spearsy, very sloppy, Spearsy.
Well, you know, just like his producing, very sloppy. But I don't think, like, I can't imagine too many people are surprised with this.
No.
I know some people are probably, I'm sure there's some people in Nashville that are very unhappy. I'm sure there's some people in Calgary who are very unhappy. I'm sure there's some people in Minnesota, Florida, and Pittsburgh who are very unhappy. Like, I thought any of those eight would have been very fair for not only the ballot, but finalists. I really can't argue it. These were not my 1, 2, 3, but it's not like I'm fighting it. Like, they're good choices.
They're good choices. I want to get to last night, but before that, I want to look forward. Tonight, tonight's a really huge night, and I want to start with Toronto and Tampa Bay. We could see the defending Stanley Cup champions go home. We could see the Toronto Maple Leafs finally move on and win a series with this group that Kyle Dubas has put together. I mean, I don't know where to begin with this one. No lineup changes for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We know all about the Vasilevsky perfect record. After a playoff loss, he comes back with the win. This goes back to, you know, after they bowed out in a sweeping fashion against the Columbus Blue Jackets, Vasilevsky has been nothing less than mint chip ice cream in the playoffs. Your thoughts on what we see tonight? What are you expecting?
I would bet that you have seen Glengarry Glen Ross.
Coffees for closers?
Do the Maple Leafs get coffee tonight? That's been their one thing, Jeff. They haven't been able to close. They had a chance against Boston, couldn't do it. Had chances against Boston again, couldn't do it. Had a chance against Columbus, couldn't do it. Had three chances against Montreal, couldn't do it. I think that's what we're... That's what we're all sitting here and watching to see. They have played well enough to win this series. They have been the better team than the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion, Tampa Bay Lightning, for more than 50% of this series. But can they close? That's the question we're all... Like, I've said this before. I have some friends and family members who are huge Leaf fans, and I just said to them this morning, I said, What are you thinking? And they're all like, my heart says Leafs, my head says Game 7. I mean, that's what the fan base is thinking. I think there are people who want them to win and hope they can win, but I would say the majority of them are sitting there saying, I think we're going to Game 7. I think we're going to see tonight, can this group prove everybody wrong?
You know, one of the players that I'm wondering about, and at times he really did not, and we've seen this before from him, most notably in that Columbus sweep, but, you know, at times when he's inspired, he's, one of the best players in the game. I'm curious which Kucherov shows up tonight, because Game 5 was, you know, not Kucherov's best performance that we've seen in the playoffs so far, not just this season, but previous seasons as well. That's the guy that I'm curious about tonight. Like, and we'll see in the first period how engaged Kucherov is. Like, we've seen him, we've seen him take games off. We've seen him get shut down. And we've also seen him dominate games as well. To me, the guy to watch tonight is Kucherov. How is he playing? How is he feeling? Is he getting those looks? Is he making the plays? Is he engaged in the play? That's going to go a long way to tell me, you know, what's going to happen tonight. Do you have your own version of, you know, the player you're watching to read, either Tampa or Toronto? Because for me, it's Kucherov.
I think that's a great pick. I just can't imagine that if Tampa loses tonight, I can't imagine they're not going down without a fight at home. Like, what we're getting tonight? We're getting superhuman Victor Hedman. That's what we're getting.
I believe that. I believe that. Yeah.
We're getting all world Hall of Fame defenseman Victor Hedman tonight. And we'll see. Like I said, you know, I think Toronto is good enough to win this series. They have proven it. I think Tampa's going to come at them with everything tonight, and how do they weather that storm? How do they handle it? You know, it's kind of funny that the Maple Leafs fans and the Canucks fans can't stand each other because they sure have the same paranoid feelings about their hockey teams.
Don't you dare. I can hear everyone in Vancouver right now compare us to Maple Leafs fans and vice versa the other way. That's the joys of being on in both markets right now.
It's like the biblical brothers who hate each other. What was it?
Yes.
Cain and Abel? Yeah.
Tonight, Game 6, Toronto Maple Leafs facing off against the Tampa Bay Lightning, CBC and Sportsnet. Pre-game at 7, puck drops at 7:30. Now, no Darnell Nurse for the Edmonton Oilers. And we all know about, you know, what the conversation is going to be if the Los Angeles Kings win tonight. And, yeah. Oh boy, sports talk radio. You know, those are moments when you're involved in sports talk radio that your job is really, really easy. Yeah. No Darnell Nurse tonight. Open the phone lines and just articulate anger as much as you can. Los Angeles has surprised people, I'll be honest. Like, we talk about coming out parties for players in the playoffs. Grunstrom's been great. Moore's been great. Thursday's been great. There have been a lot of Mikey Anderson you've talked about. He's been great. There have been a lot of, you know, players that aren't named Kopitar or Quick who have been outstanding in this series so far. No Darnell Nurse. On a scale of 1 to 10, how big is that for the Edmonton Oilers? Suspended for one game for the headbutt.
It's a big loss, Jeff, but you had to get past that yesterday. And that's why they do these things on the off days. That's why they make sure the teams are supposed to know well in advance. Like, that turned around quick yesterday. They had the hearing, and then they had the suspension announced. And that's why it's supposed to happen that way. So when you're knowing that you're going to lose Darnell Nurse for a clincher, you know well in advance, and you can get in the frame of mind where we better be ready to play and we better have this in our heads. So as far as I'm concerned, yesterday was the day to be like, oh God, this sucks. And today's the day to be like, okay, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to overcome it? Because if you're still fixated on it today, you're already beaten. You're done. So, you know, you have to figure out, is it Broberg? Is it Russell? Is it both of them? Just, you know, Woodcroft doesn't mind 11-7. Is that what he does? Whatever you're going to do, you got to be in that mindset today, right today, the moment you hit ice for morning skate and whatever, because finished.
We saw in the last game early, Jay Woodcroft wasn't shy about putting Leon Draisaitl out there. Out there against Philip Deneau and that line. It took about one period for, I think, everybody to realize, yeah, that's not a great matchup for Leon Draisaitl. Tonight, Todd McClellan controls the matchups. This is a home game for the Los Angeles Kings. You only have one Philip Deneau, but if it's not Philip Deneau, then you have Anze Kopitar, who last time I checked, Elliot, is a pretty good 200-foot player himself, thank you very much, and a former Selke guy. What are the games within the game that you look for tonight? For me, it's all about where McClellan is going to put Philip Deneau, because wherever Deneau goes, he shuts everything down, and his line is also productive at the same time. What are you looking for this evening?
Well, I wonder if Woodcroft pulls out all the stops, like we see more McDavid Draisaitl together at times. Like, that's one thing I'm going to be looking for. I know it's a constant chicken and egg debate in Edmonton. You know, do you want them together? Do you want to spread out your offense and have them apart? I just wonder if this is a night where they play them both together from time to time a bit more. Like to me, the thing that you're looking at for Edmonton is, if you go back and you watch the overtime winner for Game 5, that is the way LA sucks you in. You come at them, they lure you towards them, and then you make a turnover and they ram it down your throat and it's in your net. Like, that's what you have to avoid if you're Edmonton. They committed a turnover, they played right into LA's hands. Like I'm looking up down the highway from Edmonton, I'm looking at Calgary, right? Like, Calgary has been forced to play a patient game, probably more patient than they wanted to, against Dallas. But they've hung in there. They have said, okay, if you want to play us this way, we'll beat you this way. And they're in the lead in the series. It's not over, obviously, but they're in the lead in the series. Calgary has shown that they have the patience and the maturity to win that kind of game if it's going to be dictated to them. You know, it's counterintuitive for the Oilers. They want to beat you with their speed. They want to beat you down the ice, but kind of that's what LA wants you to do. They want to force you into bad decisions from trying that. So when I see that tonight, I say you have to limit the kind of mistake that won that game in overtime for the Kings. That's the way you've got to beat them.
Other games around the NHL tonight, the Minnesota Wild and the St. Louis Blues, the Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins. St. Louis leads this series, and they're at home. They're at the Enterprise tonight facing off against the Minnesota Wild. I have not seen, but I would suspect that Dean Evason would do something, make some type of change. I don't know. We've talked about Cam Talbot, and is there wisdom in bringing him in, even though he hasn't played in a couple of weeks? You make the switch from Marc-Andre Fleury. Maybe a swap out, a defenseman, a depth forward. I don't know, but I'm kind of having a tough time, if I'm a Minnesota Wild fan, looking at this team and saying, I don't think Dean Evason should make any changes here. How do you look at the Minnesota Wild and the St. Louis Blues tonight, Frege? By the way, Berube's been excellent. We should point that out.
Yeah.
The changes that Berube, and he split up the Robert Thomas line a little bit, and Thomas got a lot of ice, but still, and they made the goalie switch, and Binnington's been great. Like, Craig Berube's had the Midas touch in this series so far.
Well, I just think he's a really good coach. And, I think that, you know what, this it's just more proof that, you know, we all have to be open to new ideas and new theories, but there's also nothing wrong with being old school. Like, too often, old school is used as a pejorative now. Mm-hmm. I think that's so wrong. I mean, it's a problem if you're old school and you're completely unwilling to think the new way, but what's not a problem is if you're old school and it forms your ethos and you're willing to mix in some new school ideas, which I think Berube is. But I think he'll always lean old school. And old school in the playoffs is always going to be that the number one thing to win is your compete. Like, the playoffs are all the skill, and these players are so unbelievably skilled. The number one thing in the playoffs is that pucks here, man here on this team, man here on this team. Who's winning that battle for the puck? Like, who's doing that? And that's what the playoffs come down to. And that's what matters to Berube first and foremost. You know, you can go without scoring, which, you know, you don't like, but, you know, at the end of the day, if you're giving the effort, he's always going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And I always kind of like that about him as a coach. You know, the thing with Minnesota to me, actually, you know, Jeff, I asked Kelly about it last night because you and I were talking about it. I said, you know, how would you feel about putting Talbot in for game six, the first time, you know, yeah, in 2 weeks he's played? And Kelly just said, like, you know, Kelly has this way when he doesn't like something, he kind of goes, and he shakes his head. And, you know, I got a and a shake of the head. And, you know, the one thing we both know is if they ask Talbot to do it, he's going to do it because you never say no, right?
Yeah.
But it's a big, you know, the one thing yesterday that stood out for me was they kind of, that Middleton-Fleury play, the Wild spun it as, you know, it was a miscommunication, you know, between the two. And Middleton ate it just because he's that kind of a guy. Yeah. But, like, that said to me, they're coming back with Fleury.
Because they went out of their way to protect him?
Yes. Whenever that happens, well, first of all, I think you should do that more times than not, unless somebody really doesn't deserve it. But I always look at something like that and I think, they're coming back that way. But when Kelly gives me the and the shake of the head over the idea of Talbot playing, I'm thinking everybody kind of knows it's not a great idea. We'll see.
You know what
we'll see what they do.
That is Kelly Rudy's way of, like, that's his way of pausing and trying to figure out a polite way to say, Elliot, you're eating space cake. You're way out on this one. You know, it's interesting, the comment about old school versus new school, because, and we'll dovetail this into the Carolina-Boston series. You look at the Carolina Hurricanes, and you look at the construction of the team, and you think of Don Waddell, and you also think of Eric Tulsky, and you think of, you know, the analytics darlings, and you look at, you know, all the underlying numbers really support how good a team the Carolina Hurricanes are. And then you look at Rod Brind'Amour, and you also look at how the Carolina Hurricanes play now, and the number one team, Elliot, in the NHL for dump-ins, okay? Not carrying the puck over the blue line, but dump-ins. The number one team in the NHL are the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Like, that is an old-school way to get the zone, dump it in. But dovetailing that, and this goes to what you were talking about, one puck, two players, the number one team at puck retrievals after dump-ins are also the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Like, in a lot of ways, when you look at this Hurricanes team, and they could close out tonight against the Boston Bruins, they kind of have the best of both worlds here, don't they? Like, there's a ton of new school and a lot of old school in this team.
Yes, and I like that. But I think what that also says to me is that you're playing to your strengths, right? Like, you have a recognition of what you're good at, and you do that. Like, you know, I've never understood, and this happens, I think, generally a lot more in basketball than hockey. But I remember, you know, players would sometimes say to me that they knew they were in trouble when they showed up on a team and the coach said, this is my system, you have to fit in. And then you're going to say, well, it doesn't really, like, I'll try, but I'm not really suited to that kind of a game. Like, there are just some players who are, in all sports, who are better suited to one kind of style. And I've always thought the best coaches are the ones who say, well, this is what I have, so this is the way I'd better coach, or this is the way we better play. Like, to me, that's the smart thing, right? Like, I've never understood coaches who say, well, this is my system, and you're going to have to adapt to it. If you don't have the personnel for that, you're doomed to fail. So when I hear that, it says to me that you've got a team and a coach that understands what they are, and they're going to play to their strength. Like, I'm not surprised they're so good at retrievals. Like, a guy like Aho is a puck magician. If I have a guy like that who's the best player on my team, I'm looking at him and say, how does he need to play? It just seems very basic to me.
A couple of things from last night. We'll start with the Calgary Flames, where it was looking like, it's the Ottinger show again for the Calgary Flames. And we should point out, too, Jason Robertson gets on the board. We had just talked about him and, you know, the living in between your own ears when you're playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, etc. You know, this was a late comeback by the Calgary Flames, but they grab a 3-2 series lead. Markstrom, great again. Andrew Mangiapane with a gorgeous goal as well. Your thoughts on what we saw out of the Flames-Dallas game last night?
You know, I just, you know, that series obviously isn't over, and every game in that series is hard. But if I was a Calgary Flames fan, I'd feel really good about that one last night. I really would. That, you know, again, Dallas dictated the tempo. Dallas dictated the way that game was going to be played. And the Flames just stuck with what they do. They didn't, you know, Sutter made some changes to the lines in the third period. But those players, they grinded through it. They didn't get discouraged. They stuck with it. Like, again, it's not over. But... you know, like, I would look at the last two games, and if I was the Flames fans, I would feel very good about the group. Like, they made some mistakes early in the series, one of which was getting involved in the sideshow. They got to a point where they finally said, okay, no more sideshow, and they've won two in a row during that. And one game, the ice was really tilted, and last night was a battle for every inch, but they stuck with it and won the battle. Like, to me, that's maturity. That's what you have to do during the playoffs. And, you know, if you're Calgary, you don't want to risk seven. You want to close it out tomorrow night. But I would feel very good about the way that the Flames have handled themselves in the last two games of the series. They've gone down to business, and they've been the better team.
Elsewhere last night, the New York Rangers, nice little comeback of their own. Only took a couple of minutes to pull ahead. Jake Guentzel ties it up, and then the third period, Filippito with the game-winning goal. But the flashpoint in this one, Jacob Trouba on Sidney Crosby. I just looked at this play as this is a byproduct of an intense hockey game and Trouba reaching for a puck and his elbow catches Crosby in the head. To me, it just straddles the line of accident versus sloppy play, but none of it to me looks suspendable or punishable at all. Elliot, it's unfortunate for Crosby, unfortunate for the Pittsburgh Penguins. How do you see it?
Well, it sucks. Like, I hope Crosby's okay. Like, that's the number one thing I think about. I hope Crosby's okay. He was seen getting on the team bus with the rest of the group after the game. And I was really happy to hear that. You know, initially, Pittsburgh sent out a note that they were staying in New York and traveling today. And I was worried about that because I was worried that meant that they felt that, you know, maybe they didn't want to travel because he couldn't travel. But I was told that wasn't the case, that after the three overtime game, they just decided that that would be their road travel with Pittsburgh in this series. So I was happy to hear that. But overall, I agree with you. Like, one of the things, I do think that when it comes to hits with the head, there's one thing that the Department of Player Safety tries to be consistent with is, and that is for the player who gets hit, is there a material change, that's the phrase they use, material change of the head or the body position right before contact. Like the other night when it happened with TJ Oshie and Sam Bennett in Game 4 of Washington, Florida, I thought for sure that was a missed call. And then when I watched it, you realize that Bennett, you know, kind of turns and looks because of where the puck is going. And that's when I realized, okay, here's why Oshie wasn't called for it and there's no hearing. But so when I saw that last night, I was like, okay, well, Crosby's head changes direction and therefore there's going to be no penalty. I think the weird thing about that play is how that all happened. It's that Trouba's going to play the puck and his stick gets Crosby's left foot and that forces Crosby down. And it's very weird. I'm sure it's happened before. I just don't recall seeing it. Ken made the good point that if you're going for Crosby's head, you're trying to deliver a headshot, it's not with the hand that you're using to try to make a stick on puck play. Like, it's just a very weird, unfortunate play, and I really hope Crosby's okay, but I don't see that as a suspendable play. And I know there's people out there who are like, any head contact should be penalized. I get your point of view. I don't see that as a play where, like, there's, like I don't even, like, sometimes I think you should get punished because you're reckless. I just thought that was, I didn't even think it was that. I thought it was weird. I thought he's going for the puck. It hits the skate, Crosby's off balance, he gets hit, and it's the worst possible outcome. It's a very strange, weird, unusual play.
Before we wrap up here, for all of our Vancouver listeners, let's sprinkle a little bit of catnip on the conversation. What is happening with the Bruce Boudreau situation and the Canucks here, Elliot?
It's very weird. I said the other day I thought he was coming back, and I saw, I guess, Rob Simpson had an interview with Boudreau that he's coming back. There's some minor things to work out. Like, to me, that probably sounds like what the coaching staff is going to look like, but it's purely a guess. I got to tell you, I don't get this. You know, Jeff, when you and I get mad at each other, we pick up the phone and we yell at each other and we sort it out, and it's like, Elliot, have you wiped away your tears? Jeff, are you finished being a crybaby? And we sort it out. this is weird to me. You know, it ended, like, it went really well for Bruce Boudreau and the Vancouver Canucks this year. Just everybody get into a room and hammer it out. Like, just hammer it out. Like, that's, let's all be, let's go yell at each other and then go have a beer. Sort it out.
You know, with so many coaching vacancies out there, just as an aside, how many options do you think Boudreau has all of a sudden this summer, given what he just did with the Vancouver Canucks?
Sorry, what was that, Jeff? I lost you for a sec.
No, just saying, like, with all the, we'll end on this one. I am curious because, listen, we know how good a job Boudreau did with the Vancouver Canucks. Like, that's obvious, and we watched it every step of the way. And, you know, we've wondered about the Philadelphia Flyers, the association with Chuck Fletcher going back to the Minnesota Wild days. You know, I just wonder with all the coaching vacancies out there and perhaps more to come as well, you know, does Bruce Boudreau now find himself in a really enviable spot in that he's coming off a really good performance with the Vancouver Canucks, and now he has options?
Well, I do think he probably would have some options. Like, I think the one thing that's kind of thrown a wrench into it for a lot of people is Trotz, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I think Dave Trotz is probably the number one guy on a lot of lists, and, you know, we probably have to wait to see what he decides to do and what he's going to figure out for himself here. So that adds to, I think, all of it. But, you know, generally, I look at it like, you know, Bob McCowan's old advice, which was don't bleep with happy. And,
yeah.
You know, I know that, look, it's gotten sideways here, and I know not everybody's really happy with each other, but it was a good thing, and I think you just have to find a way here if you're everybody involved. Just sit down, talk it out, hammer it out, find a way. And I think there's some hard feelings on some of the things that have been reported and said. I get it. You know, everybody say your piece to everybody else and just sort it out.
And the only way to win an argument, specifically with your spouse, Elliot, is cry first.
See,
advice I always give, cry first. Thanks, Reach. Enjoy the games tonight.
All right, Mark. Chat later. Carcast later.
That's right. Carcast later on tonight at stupid o'clock. In the wee hours of the morning, we'll be carcasting as Elliot makes his way home from Sportsnet after a full night of Toronto-Tampa, LA-Edmonton.